You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes. It's match day, and I am joined by Chris McIlwain, who is obviously supping from his Axon mug like it. Yourself, Jim, John Hughes, you've all got your Axon mugs. I am loving it. Sorry, I'm letting the side in. I've got a Liam Gallagher one. I really need a new one. I need to unpack all the old ones I had back in the old studio. Now we're here in different surroundings. However, as much as things change, they remain the same. We are here for Celtic's crucial league encounter against St Mirren. St Mirren, I think, have people sometimes say punched above their weight. I think this is St Mirren. For me, Chris, growing up, St Mirren were a side that probably should be pushing for top six. Maybe not always getting there. You know, I remember the St Mirren side under Alex Smith, who won the Scottish Cup in 87. And I thought the Danny Lennon St Mirren side was very, very good. And Stephen Robinson has got a very strong side. So we're coming into this game today, certainly not counting our chickens. We know what we've got at our disposal. It's going to be tough today, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, listen, cliche alert incoming, but every game's a cup final. Now, right up until, you know, hopefully we're in the cup final. But, I don't think there's any easy games at this stage because there's a bit of pressure on. It is a really tight title race at the moment. With Rangers. Our form's been up and down all season, so I don't think we can take anything for granted. You know, this season I've not come into any game thinking absolutely we're going to go in and make a big statement win. You know, there's always an element of nerves. Actually, it's been a long time since I felt really confident before a game. But with that said, you know, I was really, as I said at the time, I was really impressed with overall large parts of our performance against Rangers. I think we still showed on the park that we are a strong team in certain areas. We've got areas that we need to improve on for next season, absolutely. But I think we've got enough in the, you know, we've got enough in the locker to get us through here. And I think, as you say, you know, we're coming up against a team, a Stephen Robinson team, and I think, you know, he's one of the possibly the most underrated managers in Scotland. I mean, what he did with when he was with Motherwell, what he's doing now with St Mirren. Good, solid manager, and we always seem to have tough games against those teams.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it could be a tough one today. Obviously, we're minus scales, we're minus our cult hero Maeda as well. Huge blow in that one. But I think this is an opportunity for guys like Kuhn, guys like Yang to step up a little bit. Two guys who probably didn't have the best of game against Rangers. And it's an opportunity for them to kind of, you know, pick up some momentum, good performances, and hopefully help us to the wing.
I was going to ask you about that. We will definitely speak about the wingers. First question is, who's playing where? Are they going to be interchangeable? I know that they're capable of doing that. But often, I think, when it comes to a poor performance, it is wise to let the player play through it, Chris. You know, if you drop them, it can do more damage than good. Some players react to that and think, I'm going to prove you wrong towards the gaffer. Others can go into their shell and disappear from view. Kuhn has kept his jersey. Let's start with Kuhn then, because going into that game against Rangers, for anyone who hasn't seen the starting 11, I'll run through that, and then Chris and I will have a wee chat. You can let us know in the comments field what your thoughts are. Joe Hart and goals, Johnston and Taylor, the two fullbacks, with Carter Vickers partnered by Mike Navroshky. I would need to check my notes to see if that's happened before. How many times have they started the game together? Not very often. We have been without our strongest starting 11 all season. One injury has overlapped another, Chris. It's always been the way. We think we're getting back to it against Rangers with McGregor on the bench, and then Scales and May, they get injured. O'Reilly, Iwata and Hatate make up the middle three with Kuhn, Kyogo and Yang up top. Now, on the bench, obviously very, very important for us in games like this as well. We have the seldom seen kid as elbow. He almost got the elbow in January, as elbow might call him. Gustav Lagerbjelk, the Swedish internationalist who scored a winning goal in a Champions League game and hasn't been really seen since. I think he got a few minutes against St Mirren and Paisley at the end of last year. Other than that, not much. Palmer returns to the bench, our number seven. I was talking about our other number seven just during the week there. Giakoumakis obviously was the number seven before Palmer took the jersey. You've got Big Ida, number nine. You've also got Bernardo, Bain, McGregor, Forrest, Ralston and Welsh. Strong, strong bench. But we're talking about the wings. And Kuhn didn't do himself any favours against Rangers, did he?
Do you know what?
Do you feel sorry for him with the booking?
Yeah, I think that nullified him, to be honest. And actually, I think the bookings, the early bookings, we got nullified a few players that day. I thought they were very harsh, given the nature of the game. But players on a yellow card only takes one bad tackle, one maybe rash decision, and they're off. So I can understand why that could allow or that could account for performance levels dropping. Initially, when Kuhn started, I thought he put a couple of really good crosses in. It's one of the elements of his game that I really do like. I think he's got an excellent delivery. I think possibly he's got one of the best crosses of all our wingers at the moment. There's obviously certain other attributes that he's not showcasing quite as much. But he was on a bit of a good run of form prior to the Rangers game. You've got to remember, I mean, this is I know he's not as young as some of the players. What is it, about 24, 25? But,
oh, he's ancient, isn't he?
I mean, he's absolutely. You know, God, what the hell does that make us? But the point is that he's, in terms of his overall experience, his game time, you know, I doubt he's played in a game of that magnitude in his career, even though, you know, we're a small league in a small country. That's a huge game to come in and play in. And, you know, I think we've got to temper our expectations a little bit. You know, this is a guy who's just finding his feet at the club. Has a lot of pressure, there's a lot of negative press as well. And I thought, yeah, he faded and he didn't necessarily contribute as much as we would like him to. But I still think that he's got the opportunity. I still think it's his jersey to lose at the moment. And hopefully he'll learn from that. What I'd say was a challenging performance. I'd say it was a challenging performance.
Yeah, it was. He's shown a bit of good form leading into that game. We spoke about him going into it. We asked the question, of course, Chris, you know, is he going to embrace this challenge? Is he going to live up to it? We've seen it in the past. Players like Mravchik and Hatate, and they come into this game and it's like, what's the problem here? You know, yeah. I'll just score a couple of goals and everybody will be happy. Other players can be engulfed with the pressure and the atmosphere and everything that's riding on the game. And they can basically let the game kind of like zip past them. I think there was a double. There was two different things working for and against Kuhn. You had, obviously, he had good form. So I do think he did try to be direct and positive. What you will have seen, particularly from some of the Celtic fans on the socials, the absolute lack of protection for Celtic players in terms of in the tackle against the amount of times we were penalised. You know, these are things, margins that, you know, after a game, there really isn't a chart to say that's happened until someone online, normally a Celtic fan, will dig it out and say, actually, I've analysed the game. Look at all these tackles that we were penalised for versus all these tackles that Rangers got away with. The worst one for me was Goldson basically just falling over. JP spoke about it on Thursday. Yeah, he just fell over the ball. Matt O'Reilly gets penalised. And these kind of things, it breaks up the flow of your game. The bookings for can obviously affect you in terms of suspensions. Not getting booked in terms of your opposite number can obviously benefit them from getting suspensions going into the last six games. All these margins, Chris, and they say that we are paranoid. talking of which, before we get into any other area of the park, we put out a blog, and I've got to say, Kevin McCluskey wrote a blog which I thought was sensational writing.
Really good. Really good.
You probably should see in the mainstream media, but I certainly haven't seen anything quite like it in relation to Ali McCoist's words and what happened afterwards. And I'm not suggesting for a moment that McCoist incited the behaviour that we saw on Sunday. The behaviour would have happened anyway, right? But if you start calling these things out, you are targeted. So Kevin McCluskey wrote the blog. I put them out. I get targeted. And what I find quite interesting, Chris, right, because I'm not being funny, right, but I've heard that all before. You're not going to hurt my feelings. You know, I'm not a timid wee wallflower. Call me KD Lang. Criticise my choice of clothing and hairstyle, if you like, it's fine. But if they come up with evidence, right, to say that this is a societal problem, that every single football club has the same issue, this is after me having listed, I don't know, a dozen different instances of players and coaches and fans and the wider public and referees being unsafe when playing Rangers at Ibrox. They came back, here we go, here is the hit list, here is the evidence, right? They came back with Hugh Dallas was hit with a coin 25 years ago, Mark Walters was racially abused 36 years ago, a Rapid Vienna player pretended he was hit by a bottle, which was thrown on the park, but missed him by about 3 metres 40 years ago, and Gordon Strachan, our very own wee Chesney, was attacked by a Celtic fan who came out of the jungle 44 years ago. And I'm looking at that and I'm going, right, okay, I'll take this opportunity right now, Chris, to say that every single Celtic fan who was involved, particularly in the racial abuse of Mark Walters, it's abhorrent behaviour. Absolutely horrific, right? Completely condemn them. And that is right. But how can you use those collection of examples that span almost half a century to say that yous have got the same issue as us? It's incredible.
I mean, where's it going to stop? Are we going to start? Are we going to talk about football hooliganism in the 80s, the Millwalls and the West?
Mind the 1930s. Remember, it was an issue, aye?
Well, I mean, my point is where does it stop? The point that we're highlighting at the moment was an immediate aftermath of a Glasgow derby against our biggest rivals, where we have no fan representation in that stadium at all. We only have our on-field personnel and our personnel in the dugout. And they were targeted, right, by only one group of fans that were culprit. Now, that's fine. In isolation, that's one incident. Nobody can deny it. You report on it factually. You say, this is what happened. It's out of line. Shouldn't happen. And the individuals involved should be held accountable. Absolutely. But what we're also highlighting is that this is the latest of several recent incidents that have happened in this stadium under these circumstances, right? We could go back 100 years, and I'm sure the incidents will balance out over a multitude of different teams if you want to go that far back. That wasn't the point we're making. We're not saying we're good, you're bad. It wasn't about that. What we're highlighting is that this particular set of circumstances that's been allowed to continue is enabling this kind of behaviour. And look, I'll be as objective as I can on it. The fact is that there are a huge raft of Rangers fans and fans of all clubs who are decent, honest people who just want to go and watch a football match, right? Similarly, in our support, there's a small minority, as there are in every support, including Rangers, of half-wits who just want to go and cause trouble or can't handle the elements of a match or a sporting occasion, can't handle a decision or go in their way, and they react, frankly, like spoiled little children. All we're doing is we're highlighting the fact that we need more control to protect the people that are getting impacted by these incidents. That's what we're highlighting. And we're highlighting at this point in time that it's emanating from one location during one match, which featuring one set of supporters. That's it. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. It's the truth, right? It's the truth. And we would be highlighting it within our own support as and when it happens. The fact is that it's not happening in our support in the most recent cases. That's the point. If we go to Celtic Park and play Rangers and some half-wits within our crowd end up doing something they shouldn't, we will call it out. That's the point. We're calling out facts here. But because you represent one side of the divide, you get told you're paranoid, you get told you're biased, you get told you're not considering all the facts. No, come on, use your eyes, man. It's there. So
I know. And you can't have that quality debate on social media because it just turns offensive. And I've got a policy on there whereby I don't need anybody to bring in the drudgery of point scoring by using their favourite subject. I don't need that in my life. So they get blocked. They get absolutely blocked at the first instance. And to be fair, they actually see that as a badge of honour, which is quite concerning as well. We've been talking about the wings. We've been talking about the right winger in particular, but Yang makes a reintroduction to the side. I'm going to say I'm quite surprised with that. Coming into this game, I think that I would have kept him on the bench. I thought his performance against Rangers, it's not a pile-on. I just felt that there was something missing in terms of the mentality there. I think that he was like a rabbit in the headlights. And, you know, all he needed was a bit of savvy at Matondo's goal to get us the win. And we win the game.
Yeah. And Lou, I think we've spoken about Yang's naivety and maybe his wee bit of a lack of mental strength in the early part of his Celtic career. You know, he came on, he seemed to get affected by the crowd. I think Tynecastle one in particular, was pretty hostile. And coming into the game last week under pretty challenging circumstances because, you know, it was a very tight game. We weren't playing great in the second half. We'd allowed Rangers to come back into it along with a little assist from a certain man in the middle, the man in the bar office, but we'll not go there. But the point is that, you know, he did come in under difficult circumstances, but the briefing should have been get out there, help us hold the lead, play it simple, do the basics, don't worry about running up there and scoring a bad US goal or you know, putting the world's best cross in. It would be about just help us solidify this lead or consolidate this lead that we had. And I think he showed a bit of naivety. Now, it's one bad performance, right? Most players will have one. I think bringing him in today, it's a risk in one sense because has he been impacted by that performance and some of the negative press around it and some of the blame being apportioned? You like to think the club protects the players from that a little bit, but you know, they're human, they're going to go on social media, they're going to take a look. Do you save him for the bench to come on and maybe make an impact? Or as we said earlier on, is this the point where you actually say, okay, do you know what? I'm not going to leave you out. I'm going to get you right back there in the lines then. Go and show that actually you're more than some of that 15-20 minute appearance that you had against Rangers, and actually go and help us win this game. Show that you've got a meaningful contribution and a meaningful part to play. So I can see arguments for both. What I hope today is that he does come in with the right attitude, you know, does the basics well, but can go and, you know, really contribute to what I hope is a Celtic win.
No, you're right. I do want to talk about that midfield setup. I want to talk about the central defensive partnership as well. Some great comments coming in from the troops. Martin Clark, hail, hail, guys from Dublin City. Always and forever green and white. Fantastic to hear from you, Martin. And hopefully you enjoy the game. Jungle Lion is topping up the tan. Fort Aventura for you. Jungle Lion, still watching the old Axom though. So we do appreciate that. And hail, hail from sunny Dunoon. Well, am I going to be the first one to say Dunfermline is teaming down with rain because I'm getting a bit jealous here, being a bit left out. James Kirwan, just go out there and win this in the first half, job done. I said during the week, I think that every single game, right, we know that depending on the performance and all the rest of it, your opinion can change throughout a game.
Yeah.
And we know that the importance is the 3 points, we get it. But I just feel that we need to approach every game with the mentality, Chris, that we're going to win 3-0. We need to approach it like that because the first thing is, I don't want us to settle into the game. I don't want it for us to be sitting at half-time, as Kevin McCluskey and I have done many times this season, nothing each. Because you're just, even when you're playing pretty well, anything can happen in that second half. And like we've said before, the officials and the decisions can play havoc regarding your performance. I mean, to get a penalty kick, over 79% chance that your opponent will score. That flips everything on its head. And you've seen some of the decisions that were fired against us, you know, even just on Sunday there. And it's the same as sending off. These things can and will happen. Therefore, I think we need a 3-goal cushion. Now, that's dreadful that I'm going into every game thinking we need to score 3 goals to win the game.
Yeah, I think I said earlier on in the week, it seems that we can be absolutely on top in a game. Generally, in the first half, we've had this Jekyll and Hyde discussion so many times. What was apparent to me during the Rangers game, and it's been apparent on a few occasions, certain players it seems to impact more, but when we go a goal down or we lose a goal, even if we've got a 2 or 3 goal lead, when we concede a goal, we look shaky. It's as if it's a bolt from the blue that just kind of knocks the confidence and the assurance, and particularly in the back line, you know, we look a little bit like we're all at sea. We start to play some panicky passes, and it seems to just be a mental strength issue. And I think because of that, we now, if we're holding either a very slim lead or we're drawing at half time, you know, the little bit of anxiety starts to creep into the game. And you know, you wonder if that's the same for the players, but certainly as a supporter, for me, I start to think, oh God, you know, we really need to get a goal and get it soon, and then, you know, build that momentum. We seem to be at the moment, this Celtic side seems to be one that deals in momentum. I think when we've got the momentum, we play well, we play with confidence, we create chances. We're still too wasteful for me, but we do create chances, we do get goals. But the momentum swing, it can be so sudden, and it can actually be so, you know, so impactful as well. Like, you know, whether it's a refereeing decision or just a mistake of our own making and we lose a goal, we seem to be all at sea suddenly and forget how to do the basics. You know, and it's sometimes, you know, coming into the second half, that first 20 minutes, you're like, if we could just get through the first 20 minutes of the half and maintain our lead or without conceding, then, you know, you start to feel a wee bit more confident. It's such a contrast from the last couple of seasons, particularly under Ange, when we would play right to the 90th, you know, and post the 90th minute, and you know, he always fancies to get a goal, you know, the Ralstons or someone would pop up with a goal. You always felt everybody was pulling to get a goal. Now when you concede a goal and you're chasing the game, the confidence is just not quite there. So again, something I'd like to see changing, hopefully before the end of the season, but certainly as we go into the next season. You know, I want to see a bit more mental strength, a bit more solidity when we've got a lead, because that's what's been lacking for me this year.
I think so. And you know, we have gone on and on about the signing issues, particularly in the summer. And I think a big part of that comes down not just to the quality of the player, but the mentality and whether or not they are able to, you know, come into a side like Celtic where every single game has to be won, every game, you know, because I've seen instances of it and I've called them out where a player really hasn't put in 100% effort to get a particular ball or in a challenge. And I think recently Bernabe was guilty of that against Kilmarnock with the last-minute equaliser. I've seen it with Bernabe and Palma against Aberdeen away from home for Mioski's goal. These are things that they're just not acceptable. They're absolutely not acceptable. And you might come from a club where you're the star player, right? And you get away with murder because you score a goal here and there or you set a goal up. That's not good enough. And I think we've seen a wee element of that with Jan at the weekend against Rangers. But the flip of that, of course, being positive, like you say, sometimes let's build the character, let's build up the confidence in that player, yeah. Get him back in. Best thing to do, get right back in the saddle. Now, DB New, Navroshky could cement his place for the title running. Scales has never quite nailed a certain start. Well, he has. He has, because every single time he's been fit, he has played. But what I think he hasn't nailed is the confidence of the majority of the fan base. I'm going by the comments that I see on our streams. I'm going by the comments I see on social media. A lot of people are not convinced. And I think I would agree with that. Ewan Boy Martin, Scales done as well as he could, but not quite good enough to be a starter for us, especially if we want to go up another level next season. So let's talk about the central defensive partnership. We have seen a lot of different partnerships this season. You just need to look at the three games against Rangers. We have had a different central defensive partnership for each game. The first one was Scales and Lagerbielk. The second one was Scales and Welsh. Welsh dropped out during the game for Navroshky. And the third one, of course, was Cameron Carter-Vickers and Scales. Today we've got Carter-Vickers and Navroshky. It's permutations. This is a new setup. How do you see it going? Because I think when we were talking before the game, my view on this was Welsh would step in. He's gone for Navroshky. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, well, this was the partnership that we believed we were getting from the start of the season. It was supposed to be CCV and Navroshky. Scales, obviously, by virtue of Navroshky being injured, you know, found himself in the team, Carter Vickers injury as well. And I think, look, you know, you're never hearing me be too derogatory about Scales. Was he who we expected to be in the team at the start of the season? No, absolutely not. Is he on the level of Carter Vickers, which I think we've always spoken about? We want someone at Carter Vickers' level to play alongside him. I don't think so. Without saying he's done anything wrong, I don't think he's maybe shown that his game's elevated. You know, for me, he's been a solid, steady presence at the back for the most part, with, you know, the wobbles that we've mentioned as well. So I think there is an opportunity here for Navroshky to come in and maybe show what he was originally bought for, right? Actually you know, live up to the price tag, show that he's maybe the guy to be the first choice partner for Carter Vickers. And I don't mean for that to happen at Scales' expense. I think Scales, you know, he's subject to the same circumstances as every other player. If you get injured, somebody comes in and takes your place. If they play well, it's their jersey then to lose. And I think Scales, like every other player, has to deal with that. But what I won't do is take pleasure in seeing a player like Scales go out with injury. You know, I think he's done the job he's been asked of him. He didn't ask for any of the circumstances. You know, he found himself in the position from the early part of the season. He's done everything that's been asked of him, and I think, yeah, hopefully I would like to see him get back, and whether he continues his career with us, whether he goes elsewhere, unsure. But for the moment, I think we've got, hopefully, on paper, a really good centre-back pairing. The centre-back pairing that I believe was the intended partnership right from the start of the season. So let's see what the guys can do. Hopefully, we clean sheet, nice and assured performance with Big Joe behind him as well.
Big Joe. James Kirwan, team selection. This is a strong goal-scoring setup. Defence looks strong. Hope the midfield boss the game from the start to finish. No slacking off in the second 45, as we have been guilty of, where we have. I think I stood up for Matt O'Reilly in the game against Rangers because I felt as though he was doing a lot of running due to the fact that he wasn't at his peak in terms of sharpness and fitness. So hopefully he's getting there now. We can get another half hour in the legs of McGregor at some point today. And then McGregor might be starting to look as though he'll be in the starting 11 post-split. Tony, always an absolute pleasure to see you in the comments section with your retro away jersey from back in the day. Are we overlooking the role refs and VAR might play today? Well, I think that's why I'm saying we need to score... I say we need to score three goals. We need to have the ball in the net three times every game between now and the end of the season. That is my mentality looking towards this running, because there are going to be some dreadful decisions. It's not going to change because that's what we've seen all season, Tony. I think it is a good point. And we're going to add another doppelganger onto the list. Thankfully for yourself, Chris, it's not one for you. You have got a long list. You've got a long list, to be fair.
Who is it today?
Right, today, Smell the Glove reckons that I actually look more like, is it Oliver Glasner?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but fair enough. Aye, that's all right. That's no problem. At least, you know, normally I get likened
to... That's better than some, to be fair. That's not...
The best one's Gash Nesbitt, let's be honest. And Jean-Paul II, I would have played Ida. See, this is the thing, right? I quite enjoyed Ida's press conference interview, right? I thought it was very good because it came across as though maybe press conferences aren't his first choice in terms of endeavours, right? But he came across really humble. I like that. I always do with footballers. And he was talking about the fact that he's now playing the best he's ever played in his career, you know? They gave him the usual, try to lead him into, I want to be a Celt for life and all that. And he didn't commit himself. He was like, look, I don't know what's happening at the end of the season. And it was interesting when he was talking also about the kind of view and the perception of Scottish football down south, because he said, I've probably been guilty of that myself, but it's a lot better than I expected. So he's come up here, and I think he's made a brilliant impression, right? And when I talk about Giakoumakis, I'm not comparing him in terms of, because he's not there yet. He's not at the level that Giakoumakis was at. But what I see is the similar attributes. And I see that if you do want to do something a wee bit different, like we had to do eventually against Rangers, he's a tremendous option. What I might have been looking at today, and I've said this a few times this season, is to push Kyogo out. Push him out wide, I mean, not out the team. And play Weed up top, and then obviously Kyogo could come in and play as a number 10 behind him and interchangeable. I would still like to see that at some point. But he's on the bench today. What did you make of his goal last week, of course? And the way that he came across during the week, I thought, yeah, I like this guy.
Yeah, tremendous. I think, look, we can only judge him on a very limited amount of football we've seen him play. I think he's made a good impression with a limited minutes. You know, when he started, he's played pretty well. When he's come on and as a sub and scored, there's a couple of performances I thought maybe a bit off it today or what have you. But I think, yeah, generally he's done more positive than otherwise. Like his attitude, he knows the club. He seems to understand the expectations here as well. And I think he's also realistic about his position, which is always good. You know, he's not one of these guys who's got his head in the clouds. I think he seems pretty grounded. I think, you know, look, he's going to have a role to play between now and the end of the season, potentially even between now and the end of this match, because I think he's got that they attribute to be an impact player off the bench. Equally, I'm similar to you. I'd like to see him playing alongside Kyogo in maybe a slightly different role, whether that's the two of them up front, whether that's Kyogo out wide. I still think there's opportunity to do that. But at the same time, from a manager's perspective, you know, if I could tentatively try and put myself in Brendan Rodgers' shoes, this is not the point in the season where we can take too many risks, you know. So I think he does seem to be the kind of manager who try stick with the tried and tested and not mix it up too much at this stage, because there is so much at stake. So I kind of get why he's gone with the tried and tested formation. But yeah, either for me, I'd like to see him come on, get some minutes, maybe make another good impression, whether that's coming on for Kyogo or coming on to play alongside Kyogo. And yeah, I definitely think he'll have a say in the running, absolutely. And if he does well, I don't, providing the price is right, I'd have no issues about sending him on. I think, you know, what you've always got to ask yourself, is there a better player in that price range? And given what we know about our club's spending restrictions and recruitment, is there a better player, you know, with his attributes, at his age, with the kind of understanding of the club that we could get? Or do we go and take another unknown?
No, and he's edged off the bench, hasn't he? He's pushed him off the bench. I mean, the point I made the other day there was you've got Mikey Johnston tearing it up. I don't want to repeat what Brendan Rodgers said, because I don't think it's a good move to bring him back. I think it paves the way for Mikey Johnston's departure from Celtic, his form. But he's doing wonders in the Championship. And you think to yourself, well, you know, if we want a player from the Championship, let's use him as a make weight. As bad as that sounds in terms of using a player as a commodity, the club has to be in charge of that. And if we want Ida, and Mikey Johnston's got glowing reports down south, and there's a couple of clubs interested in him, let's see if we can do some business here. PJ Scissorhands, opinionated Glaswegian, OG. I know I've not been out very often, right? And Dunfermline isn't really a sun trap. Thanks for that, mate. But Paul Leinster, what I will say about the B-52s, right, I don't disagree with that, but you know the album that Love Shack was on, right? I know Love Shack became one of these kind of quirky singles, but the album for 89, Cosmic Thing, was one of my dad's favourites. You loved that album.
Nice,
and
nice.
What an LP it was. What a band. One of John Lennon's favourite bands, the B-52s. If they just had stayed away from Freddie Flintstone later on in their career, I think their credibility took a wee bit of nosedive at that point.
It did, yeah. Just talk about being remembered for all the wrong reasons, really.
I'm sure it paid well, you know, when he's sitting in his pool thinking about it.
I'm sure he doesn't have too many complaints now. Yeah, I'll probably still get royalties from that.
I bet he is. Now, I need a wee prediction from you, Chris, because as I'm saying, I think we're going to score 3 goals today. I'm going to go 3-1.
I'm going to put a bit of faith in the back line here. I'm hoping that we can get a clean sheet, because I think we need a clean sheet at the moment. We just need to get that confidence at the back. So I'm going to, similar prediction, but I'm going to say 3-0.
Brilliant. Listen, we'll be here at half-time and full-time. We might be joined by a third member of the Axon team, depending on their availability. Go and enjoy the first half, and we'll see you back here in 45 minutes. Thank you, every single one of you, even the ones that are saying that I look like Edward Scissorhands. And thank you to Chris McElwain for joining me on A Celtic State of Mind.
Pleasure as always, Paul. Hello.
Network.